Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
One of the things that's really amazing about the God that we serve is He is alive. We don't speak to and pray to just a chair or a building or some monument, some rock. We pray to a God who's alive. And you know, the beauty of something that's alive is it speaks to us, not it, He. And I want us this morning to, for a few moments, as we even leading up to, in a sense, the prayer weekend. Part of prayer is us praying, and part of prayer is us speaking, but part of prayer is us listening, and part of prayer is us hearing, and part of prayer is us receiving from God, not just speaking all of the time. Maybe take a few moments, and this might become a series. We'll see how it goes. You kind of always develop, kind of figure out we're doing a series when we're halfway into it in the third week. But the plan isn't. But I want us this morning to just speak a little bit around our listening and our hearing God. We serve a God who speaks, not a God who spoke, but who speaks. Sets Him apart from so many of the other gods. Some of you may have seen, I asked ChatGPT a little question yesterday evening. I said, if you could, or knowing what you know, if you could pick any religion, what would you pick? And then at first it gave me like, it says, well, it depends what you want. If you want this and whatever. I said, no, misunderstood. What would you pick? And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. If I could pick, based on all of the information that I have, I'd pick Christianity. Specifically Christianity built around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he gives a couple of reasons why. And I found that pretty encouraging. But part of that fact is that God is a God who speaks. And today, as you are sitting here, God is speaking to you. I also realize that for us as followers of Jesus, that is one of the hardest things for us to wrestle with, is what is God saying? How do I know what God is saying? I've got this question. I've got this real question. I'm wrestling with God with this question. And I really genuinely want to know what God is saying. I just don't always know how to know what God is saying. So a few things about His speech. Firstly, His speech is powerful. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God was, and then what did He do? He spoke. As He spoke, He created the sun and the light, and He created the heavens and the earth, and everything that exists today were created because God spoke a word. I love this passage in Psalm 46. There's a really beautiful song around this as well. It says, the nations are in chaos. It's this whole psalm about God who makes wars to cease, and He bends the bow and breaks the spear, and He just causes people to bow before Him across the nations. And right in the midst of that, there's this little verse here which says, the nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders. The earth melts. There's something about the voice of God that has power to change circumstances and situations. The world around us is subject to who Jesus is and subject to His speaking. Not only is God's voice powerful, it's also necessary. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, He's in a desert. He's been fasting for 40 days. And I love how scripture says He was hungry, because what else would He be if He'd been fasting for 40 days? And if I was writing the Bible, I might have suggested sort of an editorial comment in there. Can we just change it to very, maybe just say He was very hungry? That might be more accurate after 40 days of not eating. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but He was hungry. And the devil comes and he tempts Him. And there's this whole really powerful interaction between Jesus and the devil. And the devil says, if you are the Son of God, make these rocks turn to bread. And Jesus responds with this beautiful answer. And it's an answer that He's quoting from the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. And He says, no, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so it's important for you and me to realize that God's word in our life isn't a nice to have, it's a need to have. We cannot live, and we cannot live in the way that God has called us to live without an awareness of God's voice speaking to us. I'm doing this 260 Bible challenge thing, and a whole bunch of you guys are on that. And we are, what's today, day 34 or whatever of 260 days. And the idea is there are 260 chapters in the New Testament. And when we started on the 15th of April, there were 260 days left in the year. And so we said, hey, this makes sense. It's one chapter a day for the rest of the year. And I kind of invited a couple of people and thought 20, 30 people would join. At the moment, we're about 620 people all reading a chapter a day together. But every morning I have to post like a little poll saying, have you read your daily chapter? And I have to be creative, and 34 days of creativity is beginning to run out, because every day I'm saying, yes, I did, and kind of an encouragement about why I did. And then no. And the no one is always hard, because I kind of want to use it something that encourages people to actually realize how bad our choices are if we're choosing not to read. Because every day we choose not to draw close. Every day we choose not to hear. Today I very nearly said, and I didn't, I was too gracious, but maybe one other morning I will still say. It says, no, kind of, yes, I read my Bible passage chapter for the day. No, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. Yes. And no, but I did eat. Or no, but I did find time to eat. It's amazing how we'll find time to eat three times a day because we realize we need it. And as I say that, I realize that there's another sermon. I told you this might become a series. Maybe some of us are hangry and we don't even know it. And we've become hangry not because we didn't have breakfast or we didn't have lunch. We've become hangry because we haven't been hearing the voice of God. And our spirits are hungry and we don't know how to process, and we're malnourished, and our bodies are kind of, our spirits are responding in an unhealthy way because we are not being fed. And so Jesus says in this beautiful passage, he says, food, bread, is necessary, but the voice of God isn't pudding that we maybe eat from time to time. It's not a nice milkshake or a dessert. The pudding isn't ice cream that we add on the top. The word of God isn't the ice cream that, hey, it's great if I have ice cream from time to time, but I don't need ice cream every day. Maybe you don't, I do, but you know, but the word of God, he says, we will not live by bread alone, but every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So important. Just the context, we read that as well. He's not only saying the written word of God. We'll touch on that in a moment. He's including that, but we need the word of God spoken to our spirit. That's what sustains us and keeps us going. In Psalm 119, a passage, and a part of me is really glad that we're not doing the Old Testament chapter a day, because we'd have to cross the Psalm 119 chapter at some stage. But they're kind of 115 verses in to Psalm 119, which means none of us ever read it, because we're like, you read the first 20 chapters and then attention deficit kicks in and we'd rather go TikTok. But you're going to have to push in to verse 115. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Your word, Jesus. It's a lamp to guide my feet. So the idea is I've got a lamp shining. I'm walking at night. There is no other light, but I've got a light. I can see my next step that I need to take, because your word is a lamp. But not only is it a lamp for my next step, it's actually a light lighting up the path that I need to walk. Maybe not a spotlight into the complete future, but there's a path that's lit up for me to walk. And you know what that light is? It's God's word. Not just his written word, that too, his living word. You and I, if you are a follower of Jesus, maybe you just need to hear this, and if nothing else, this needs to settle in your spirit this morning. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we can and should hear his voice. John chapter 10, there's this beautiful passage, Jesus speaking about a sheep and a shepherd. And then he's speaking about our hireling, the one who's just in it for themselves. For those of us who are in ministry, if you have a dream to step into ministry, John chapter 10 is a really important passage. Jesus speaks about the different heart with which we approach the sheep. And at the start of the chapter, he says that there is the shepherd, and the shepherd, the gatekeeper, opens the gate for the shepherd, and the shepherd steps in, and the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd leads them out. And then there's the hireling, and the hireling runs at the first sign of danger. The hireling is just here to look after himself. He's not willing to give his life for the sheep. And then later on in this chapter, in verse 27, we get this verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are in this context, one of Jesus' sheep, Jesus says you hear his voice. You have and you can hear God's voice. You are meant to hear his voice. I think for most of us, the challenge is not so much that God isn't speaking. It's that everything else is also speaking. As we are wrestling with important questions of my life, there is God's voice, but there is also my mom or my dad's voice, and there's also my friend's voice, and there's also the world's voice, and somewhere inside of there, there's my own voice. And the challenge is not so much, is God speaking or is God not speaking? It's which of these voices is God? How do I silence all of these other voices? How do I zoom into the voice of God? How do I push mute? We've got this really cool program that kind of we discovered that we use for the videos and stuff we make from time to time. I love it. Can record a person speaking in a noisy room. And you take this, the audio that you've recorded with all of this other noise, and you plug it into the software, and it pops out just the voice you want to hear, and all of the other voices are silenced. I think some of us are looking for a tool like that, like an AI tool for our spirits. How do I silence every other voice so I can hear the voice of Jesus? And I say that with the assumption, and I don't think it's necessarily a wrong assumption, that we are sitting here as an example this morning because we want to hear Jesus' voice. We actually genuinely want to hear what he is saying. And so I've got three ways for us to look at. There are obviously many more, three tips to help us to hear God's voice. Three things that if we can embrace, press into, I think they're going to help us to clarify understanding or hearing and then understanding God's voice. So often through the New Testament, right all the way from Matthew into Revelation, we hear this phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Revelation, there's a little tag added to that. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And so that's my prayer for us this morning, that we would develop ears to hear. The ability to hear what Jesus is saying to us because he speaks, and it's necessary for us to hear because that is what sustains us and carries us. Three things about hearing God's voice that I want to share with us this morning. The first one, we've touched on this already, is he speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through their written word. The starting point for you and me in hearing God's voice is spending time in his word. I saw someone actually post on one of the social media things a couple of years ago, as a well-known pastor, and he just said, some of us need to stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. That for me hit so powerful. I don't think it's absolutely true in every situation. I'll speak about that in a moment, because there is also the voice. The challenge is that we are so busy listening for the voice, we never look for the verse. And it's not one or the other. And so I'm not sure where you are on the theological spectrum. Maybe you're on the, I don't really need the verse, I only need the voice. I don't think that's healthy. Maybe you're on, I don't need the voice, I only need the verse. That's also not healthy. There's a healthy interchange between that, where there's the written word of God. But we have to start with the written word of God. I love Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, just helping us sort of understand a little bit how God interacts with his word and how that interacts and sort of the interface with us. We're in the book of Hebrews. This is in the New Testament. The author is writing. He's encouraging the audience he's writing to. He says to them, that is why the Holy Spirit says. The tense there in the Greek is very explicitly a continuous tense. This is happening right now. Not this is past tense, this happened. This is happening now and is continuing to happen. He's saying the Holy Spirit is saying right now to us. And then he quotes a passage from the Old Testament. Today, when you hear his voice. And so the author to the Hebrews, he is very happy to appropriate Old Testament texts, scriptures, to say that is God speaking to you and me today. God speaks to you and me today through his written word. I remember a story. I don't have a story kind of to this degree, but I remember this because this is such a beautiful moment. I was a student, young in the faith, and we had evangelism services from time to time, and we'd get in people who could help to draw a crowd so we could preach the gospel to them. And one of them was an actor. And one day, the actor, we got the service, and I remember him preaching, and I remember him telling the story how he came to Christ, and he had decided that he was going to go, at that stage, everyone did it, he went to London, he was going to go to London for a year or two, and he was going to work and make a bunch of money and pay off his student debt and come back to South Africa. And he tells a story of how he was reading, and he was reading, I think it's in the book of James, and as he was reading, the passage says, do not say, I will go, this is literally what the word says, to such and such a city, stay there for a year, trade and make profit and return. And he was like, well, okay, I guess that changes my plans. Can I just put as an aside as well, a hindrance to us hearing the voice of God? Is he isn't always going to say what we want to hear. A lot of the time, when God speaks to us, it's not going to be the answer that we wanted. And we need to embrace that. We need to understand his ways are higher than our ways. They're different than our ways. We don't always understand them. We don't always have to understand them. I love the saying that obedience does not require comprehension. I don't need to understand why I need to do it for me to do it. And all of us who are parents, we get that with our kids. They don't have to know why I say you need to go to bed now for them to go to bed now. There doesn't always have to be a please explain conversation. That does come when we mature and God is happily explaining, but we don't always have to understand before we can obey. God speaks through the scriptures. One of the reasons I started this 260 challenge, this daily Bible reading thing that we're doing, is I was speaking to a pastor friend and he told me about how they did it. And a similar type of thing, a little bit different, but the same thing, reading a chapter a day for a period of time through the year to read through the New Testament. And I just realized how many people in churches, even, maybe I'll go to church every Sunday, but we don't have a living relationship with the word. In a sense, we're biblically illiterate. It's one of the reasons I love Bible school. I love the Bible school that we do. I love being in the Bible school, being part of the Bible school. I've told our teachers often every now and again, someone says, oh, I can't really teach. And then they feel bad that they're not able to teach. And I'm like, listen, don't feel bad. If I could, I would teach every session of Bible school every year. I love doing it. I just don't think it's healthy for me to do it. It's not healthy for the people we're teaching to only receive from one person. So I love that you can teach. I want you to teach. It's good to teach, but you're not doing me a favor by teaching. I think you are adding value to the students' lives, and I think teaching is great, and kind of you're probably doing yourself a favor by teaching the Word of God. I love Bible school. It's important for us to spend time to press into the word. And I say that for myself as much as for anybody else. One of the things I'm loving about the 260 challenge is I'm not just reading the chapter a day. I'm having to do a video on that chapter every day. So I'm having to kind of study deeper into it. It's forcing me to get kind of really through these chapters to get rooted in the word really, really well. And it's a discipline that we all need to learn. There's an organization called the Center for Bible Engagement. They did a bunch of research. Some of you may have seen this video. I posted, actually posted it yesterday, one of their little thingies, their promo things, just as encouragement for everyone reading. So let me just open up that passage for you guys. With the passage, that little image. Don't have it on screen, but I can read this for you. And so they've done a bunch of study. This was a longitudinal study of, I think they ended up with, if I remember correctly, 100,000 people, and it was over a number of years. And they found engaging in the Bible 4 or more days per week So more often than not, in other words, leads to between 218 and 416. So more than between 200% increase. That's triple for those of you who understand mathematics. 100% increase is double. 200% increase is triple. So between 218 and 416%, in other words, lots. There's multiplication in our boldness to share our faith with others, our willingness to give charitable contributions, our ability and our desire to disciple others and to remember scripture. There's a between 14 and 60% reduction in thinking destructively about ourselves or about others, and thinking unkind thoughts, about feeling spiritually stagnant, about feeling like you can't please God. There's a decrease in loneliness, in bitterness, in a difficulty forgiving. There's the same amount of decrease in feeling the need to hide, in discouragement, decreases in fear and anxiety. And then there's a 20 to 60% reduction in people who are struggling with bad behavior, overeating or mishandling food, people engaged in extramarital sex or addicted to pornography, neglecting their family, in lying, lashing out in anger, drinking excessively, gossip, and bad monetary habits. All just from reading the Bible. There's something that happens in our spirits when we read the Bible. But not only that, it gives us foundation to hear the voice of God. Sometimes we don't need to know the voice. We just need to know what is God saying in this situation. If Jesus was here today, what would he say? Because that allows me to know what he is saying today, because he is the same God yesterday, today, and together. That starts in the Word, and everything else that Jesus says, the Spirit says, is going to be connected to the Word. He's never going to speak in contradiction to his word. It's going to be in accordance and anchored in his word. Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is living or alive in this translation and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The Word of God has the ability to speak to the innermost part of who we are. And so if you're sitting here today saying, Philip, I've got this life decision I need to make, my first question to you is, what does the Word of God say about it? I say this to young people all the time when I kind of sit in discipleship groups with them. I say, what do you sense kind of your life journey? What does that look like for you? Where do you think you are going to end up in a career path? I'm going to be an engineer, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a this, I'm going to be a that. And then I throw this question that they never seem coming, and I don't understand why we don't see it coming. I say, well, what does Jesus say about that profession? And then the answer comes back, probably not very much. And then my answer is no. How can you step into a sphere of life without knowing what Jesus is saying about that? Before we even speak about your role in that, what is Jesus saying about the sphere, about this career path, around this area where you are headed towards? And they realize they've got to go back and then some homework to do. And then the most beautiful answers come out of that, how we see God's hand in every career path in Scripture. So that which you are wrestling with, the first question is, what is the scriptures? How does Jesus say in his word? And how does that contradict with your innermost being? I love how it says it exposes. There is stuff inside of us that needs to be exposed, and it's not going to change until it is exposed. So that's the first one. God speaks to us through his word. Then secondly, he speaks to us directly. Typically, we would say through his Spirit, but as we just highlighted kind of in the previous passage, the Holy Spirit speaks through God's word. we saw in the book of Hebrews. That is why the Holy Spirit says, and then he quotes the scripture. And so he speaks to us directly as well. So many examples in scripture, and I just picked this one because it's the coolest guy in the Bible apart from Jesus. Acts 8, verse 29. And so the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. There are these moments where the Holy Spirit speaks into our situation, into our space. This started with the Holy Spirit speaking to Philip because Philip was on his hammock watching Super Rugby, having just a chill day. The bride was just about ready to go and the Holy Spirit said, go to this place. It is a desert. And obviously not this Philip. Because this Philip would have said, no, I'm too lazy. It's comfortable. It's nice. I like it here. Why can't somebody else go to the desert? What am I going to do in the desert? The desert is boring. Kickoff is about to happen. The meat has just been defrosted. Ons gaan nou braai, you know. God says to Philip, go into desert. And he goes. There are those moments where the Holy Spirit speaks, and he often speaks, interrupting our program. He speaks to us. He speaks into the innermost part of our being. And before this was written in the book of Acts, there was no text that he could have read that said, go over and walk along beside the carriage. There wasn't a scripture that the Holy Spirit could remind him of that had already been written for this situation. Some things about when the Holy Spirit speaks to us in this way. Firstly, it is always going to be in accordance with the text. There isn't a scripture which says, thou shalt not walk along a carriage. And now he says, walk. So he's not contradicting scripture in saying this. He's giving instruction for this moment that he's in. It's never going to contradict scripture. Second thing that's important for us to understand, and sometimes this is hard, but I'm going to give you an example and it's going to make so much sense to you. God can say to you and me, praying exactly the same prayer in the same situation, two different answers. Some of you are saying, oh, I'm not quite so sure about that. Well, let's just jump back a little bit. For some of you still there, you're in your mid-20s, you meet a nice lady. And you've got a buddy in small group who's also met the same nice lady. And the two of you both go to God and you pray. And the two of you are both saying, God, I think this might be the lady I want to spend the rest of my life with. And suddenly we realize that he can only say yes to at most one of them. The two of us praying the same prayer about the same person in the same situation, God can very clearly give us different answers around it. And so here it's not what we're talking about doctrine. We're not talking about these are truths for everybody. Everybody doesn't have to go and walk along beside the carriage. For you in this moment, in this time, this is the Holy Spirit saying to you. Yannette has a love for healthy eating, which is one of my challenges. Every now and again, we go on a healthy eating crusade. Those are the times you're welcome to meet me in McDonald's. And she's got a bunch of books. And I'm not even joking about the McDonald's. She knows that too. But she's got a bunch of books about healthy eating and healthy diets. Many of them written by Christians. And you know the crazy thing about them? They all start in their preface. I haven't read more than the preface. That's all I kind of read from those books. They all say the same thing. They say, I was struggling with my eating habits. And then God showed me this is the way to eat. And at that point, I'm great. This is awesome. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. He's helping you in your struggle. That is what he does. And then they make the mistake that so many of us make. And they say, and this is why you must also eat this way. And then I'm like, this is not the Bible. And then they say, this is the only way that we must eat. And I'm like, no, if that was the only way that we must eat, then that's the only way it would be in the Bible. And we take that personal revelation that the Holy Spirit said to me about an area of struggle in my life, and we want to make doctrine of it. And we just be careful that we don't do that. But the Holy Spirit does speak, and he speaks to me. And he speaks to you in your situation. I love this passage in 1 Kings chapter 19. Many of us might know this. We have Elijah, the prophet. He hears God's voice. And he has been just doing amazing things. He's just literally killed thousands of the prophets of Baal. There was a war that he, man alone, won. And then he hears there's a king who's angry with him, and so he runs away. And I'm like, God. And then God is also like, guy, like, why can I just slap you? Sometimes God wants to, I think, do that loving, like loving, just a wake-up slap, not an angry, you're naughty slap, just a, can we just realign your faculties quickly? So there, he's running away from this king after he's just killed thousands of people by himself. He hears the king's unhappy, so he runs away. He finds himself in a cave where he spends the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He's like, Elijah, what's wrong with you? Why are you here? Elijah replied, I have zealously, so he gives this beautiful religious answer, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel, it's other people's fault. They've broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. And God's about to say to him, no, that's not true. There are another 3,000 people that you don't even know of who haven't bowed their knee, and they are not dead. He says, I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. So often when God speaks to us, it is a gentle whisper. I am absolutely zero Hebrew speaking at all. My Hebrew knowledge is very, very, most of you probably have better Hebrew than I did. But I did go and look this up a little bit. What is this gentle whisper? It's translated differently in different translations. And literally it says a thin whisper. Sorry, not a thin whisper, a thin silence. There's a thin silence through which God speaks to us. And I'm sure all of us have been there. Sometimes it's like our conscience. It's like, this is the right thing to do and this is the wrong thing to do. And we can ignore it and we can press on. We can be so busy with everything that we don't listen. And I love this picture that God gives the prophet Elijah here. He's like, Elijah, I'm not speaking to you in all of the big, amazing things that are happening all around. I'm speaking to you in this thin silence, gentle whisper. There's a challenge about God speaking to us in that way, is we need to learn to be silent to hear his voice. Yes, we have to work at silencing all of the other voices. But maybe a me thing, not a you thing, is the hardest voice to silence is this one. God speaks and I've got an excuse. I sense he's saying and I've got a reason why not. And I'm talking all the time. I don't give him time to talk. I'm saying, God, I really want to hear what you are saying. And for an hour, I'm praying, saying how much I want to hear what he is saying. And after a while, he's like, well, you just shut up and let me speak. Be still and know that I am God. Keep quiet. Philip, if you want me to talk, keep quiet. I think it's one of the lost arts in modern life is the ability to be quiet. And I suffer from it just as much as everybody else, because if there's 7 seconds of quiet, I pick up my phone and I go look for noise. What's going on Instagram? What's happening on Facebook? What's in the latest news site? What's happening in the sport event? There's so much noise that I can fill my life with, and we need to learn the discipline again of stepping away and being quiet. There is a beauty that happens in quiet, in silence. I think there's a reason why so many of the powerful moments that God had with the different people in the Bible happen in places of solitude, happen in deserts, happen in wildernesses, happen on mountaintops, happen away from the hustle and bustle of daily life. If you want to hear God, one of the ways in which you can just position yourself well to hear his voice is find a quiet place. A place up on a mountain, a place away from other people. I like warm the other day. Tina, she's not here today. Deanne's wife, We were standing after an evening service, and she was chatting about how nice it is when it's so very cold, and your messy on your jacket, your thick jacket, and just the nose is sticking out, and it's like red from the cold, but everything else is warm. And I said, no, you are surely from the Western Cape, because I like it when I'm on the beach in swimming trunks or in the bush, and my skin is almost about to catch fire because of the heat in there. I like that. And the other guys are like, well, we're going on holiday with you, Philip, not with her. And I have no idea how I got on there. I was actually going to make a point. Oh, I like sun. I like heat. I'm not one who enjoys the cold. So in the winter, what I love to do, because cars, they bake nicely in the sun. There aren't many places close to this, but on Tux campus, there's a little dam there. We can go park yourself, the car in the sun, and you can get heat on the inside. And it's a little bit quiet. There's no one else there. There's a dam. There's birds flying around. And there's just a little bit of quiet. Doesn't Psalm 23 say that the Lord is my shepherd and he leads me? Well, where does he lead me? He leads me to quiet. He leads me to still waters, green pastures. It's a discipline we need to build into our lives to get away from the hustle and bustle and the quiet so we can hear God's voice. Some of us, we're living in the earthquake. We're in the disaster. Sometimes you didn't know you could do this. So let me give you a quick little life lesson here. Do you realize you can push pause on disasters in your life? If a disaster is happening in your life, you are able to push pause. You don't have to sort it out right here, right now. Yes, from time to time, there are things that are life-threatening, and if we don't stop it right now, there's problems. So every now and again, I'd get a call or WhatsApp. Fortunately, it hasn't happened in a while. Wisdom has entered. But, you know, you get a call at 2 o'clock on a Friday night, 2 o'clock in the morning, kind of going into Saturday. The phone rings. Message, what's going on? No, there's this crisis in my life. What is happening? And like, what, is someone in hospital? Oh no, it's just all of these decisions I've made over the last few months have led to this. Like, the best way we're going to solve this problem right now is we're all going to go to sleep. Because this problem that has been built up over the last few months, we are not going to solve in the next 3 minutes either. So we're going to go to sleep, and you're going to go to sleep, and you're going to push pause on your crisis. And on Monday morning, when it's a convenient and a healthy time for you and me, we're going to pray through this, and we're going to talk through this, and we're going to work towards a resolution, which is probably going to take a couple of weeks and months to implement and get in place, because it's taken a couple of weeks and months to get to where we are. You can push pause. You don't have to deal with every crisis in your life right now. And sometimes the best thing to do, pause. Go to a quiet place. Say, God, what are you saying about this situation? How are you viewing this? God, how are you interacting with this? Okay, great. Let me go back and deal with it. We want to hear God's voice. We have to learn to be quiet. The last one for this morning, God speaks. God speaks to us through his written word. He speaks to us directly. When we're willing to listen, when we're willing to tune out all of the other voices. And then thirdly, he speaks to us through his people. Acts chapter 13, I could have picked so many examples. I just picked one. This one. One day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting. They were having their time of global consecration, praying. Once again, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. There isn't one person just hearing this voice. There are a collective of people who are all together hearing what the Spirit is saying. A great piece of advice that I would give you is, especially around important life decisions, when I sense the Holy Spirit is saying this, bounce it off the people who you love and trust and the people who love you. Go to your small group. Say, hey guys, I need to make this big decision. I'm praying. Will you pray with me? I sense God is saying this. And if they come back and they say, we don't think God is saying this, then you need to take that serious. You need to be willing to hear an answer that you don't want to hear. kind of when we do relationship weeks with the young people, the one line I always say to them, relationships, romantic relationships, this is the one area in your life that you cannot trust yourself to hear God's voice alone. Yes, you need to hear God's voice, but you cannot trust yourself to hear it alone. There is just too much other noise playing into this question. You need to have people alongside who can say, no, that's not what God is saying. Or yes, I actually think that is what God is saying. And so God speaks through his people. And so we need to bounce what we're hearing off what God is saying to the people around us, but also we need to be listening to what is God saying to the group? What is God saying to the community? When we're together on First Monday prayer, praying, it's not that me praying or you praying or whatever, is what is God saying through all of us as we are praying together? What is the answer that is coming up? What is the word that God is saying that aligns with his scripture that resonates in my heart, but everybody else is kind of hearing the same thing from God? God speaks through other people, not just when we in deep worship and intercession. There's one of the most beautiful paradoxes in scripture. So Moses, this great leader who's had the burning bush experience. You guys know that, Moses? Okay. So he's leading the people of Israel. 10 plagues, the whole shebang, signs and wonders. It is all there. Moses is called by God. I don't think anybody in human history has ever doubted that. Even if you're an unbeliever, you can't deny what God did through Moses. It's historically verifiable. This is an amazing moment. And so Moses, his father-in-law, is not a believer. His name is Jethro. Jethro doesn't know this God that Moses knows. But Jethro can look at Moses and say, the way that Moses is leading this people needs to change. So Jethro says to Moses, Moses, I think you should lead differently. And I love what he says. This is what God says to you. And he is right. And Moses goes and changes how he leads based on the words that Jethro brings. Too often we miss God's voice because we reject the vehicle through which it is coming. You're not spiritual enough. You're not holy enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough. Sometimes God is just using another human being who has no revelation of him to bring correction and instruction and direction in your life. We should be willing to receive it. We don't eat it all just because somebody said doesn't mean that I must do. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying be tossed to and fro by every single person with an opinion in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But there are going to be times when people are going to speak into your life, say things into your life. We have to at least take that back and pray about it and say, God, was this you? God, I didn't like what this person said, the way they said it, the method, all of that. But God, was the message still you? Does this align with your word? Does this accord with the wisdom we see in scripture? Is this what my spirit is resonating and the people around me are hearing? It might not be, but it might be. And God will use the people around you to speak into your life in the ways that you didn't always want to hear. Isn't that exactly what happened with David? David messed up with Bathsheba, just one of the craziest moments in history. He basically rapes her, has her husband murdered. It's just a crazy story. And David is carrying on as normal. And God sends a prophet and says, David, what are you doing? And then David realized, he brings a little story, a little parable. He's like, what are we going to do about the guy who's only got this sheep? And but the other guy had all of the sheep. And the guy who had all the sheep stole the one sheep. And he's like, bad, kill the guy who stole the one sheep. And the prophet is, well, David, that's you. God is going to use Nathans in our lives to bring correction. And they're not always going to be the most spiritual people. Maybe they're going to be Jethro's. They're just going to be people who see something and understand something in life, and God uses them to impart his voice to us. And so can we stand this morning? I'd love for us to pray. I want to pray over us a confidence about the voice that we are hearing to be God's voice, a clarity to be able to distill all of the other voices away, an openness to hear when he sends other people to speak. Actually, I'm going to ask Chris if he can just play just something gently or put on a pad or something. I'm going to make it really awkward. You guys, before I pray, we can actually sit down again because your legs are going to get tired again. I'm going to make this really awkward. Please forgive me, but you will see there's value in this. I'm going to ask us for 5 minutes, which is like an eternity. Like five whole minutes. 60 seconds times five. 300 seconds. I'll have the ambulance on standby. So there's just very gentle music in the background. I'm going to ask, can we just sit in silence? And as we sit in silence, I'm going to ask, just I want to pray a simple prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And then for 5 minutes, it's going to feel very long. I'll time it. It'll be 5 minutes to the second. If we can sit in silence. Can we do that? So Jesus, thank you that you are eager to speak to us. And we were sheep and we hear your voice. And so right now we bring our ears to you. We bring our spirits. And we say, Holy Spirit, will you speak to us?
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.